This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. The election is over with, and the results were not very good for the governor. John Couvillon joins us now, Louisiana-based pollster, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. How you doing, John?
Really good. Thanks for having me on your show this morning.
Can you speak to the Jefferson Parish Council race or not?
Well, what's interesting about that, I would say that the results from that race emanated from the unusually strong Democratic turnout that you had at the top of the ballot. In other words, the West Bank has been trending more Democratic, which of course is where that council district's based. Mm-hmm. And not only is it getting more Democratic, but now Democrats feel more empowered to start running candidates in races when that used to not be the case. And I'm talking about, of course, minority Democrats. And so that to me is what kind of led to the result that you see in that council race. For the runoff, it's basically a case of to what extent can Template and or his supporters in the Gretna area patch things up and vote party line, which I suspect a lot of them will, is for the Republican candidate.
Yeah, I'm going to expose my ignorance here, which some people from the text line think I already have. But look, you know what? Not everybody likes everybody, so that's the world. And for those of you that are texting, and let me just say this, John, that are texting and saying you despise me, you this, you that, and it's only one or two, three people, save your text, please, because it means nothing to me. So you're not hurting my feelings. You're just wasting your time. Let's talk about my ignorance here. And I thought, because of the dust-up with Kerner and Template, that I thought Andrea Manuel, and no disrespect to this candidate at all. This is me not doing my homework, I guess. I thought on Election Day, because I don't live in Jefferson Parish, I didn't really follow it, I thought, you know what? This woman is apparently the spoiler. She's in there to cause a runoff between Template and Kerner, and that's not the case at all. I was terribly wrong on that. Did the numbers indicate this before? Were there polls out before showing this?
Yes to polls, and yes to numbers if you're talking about early voting numbers. In other words, what I think is important to appreciate here, and like I said, I won't say the word ignorance. Let's just say I'll give you an assist here.
Okay.
This district, which has most of the West Bank, is a politically marginal district. Donald Trump barely carried it over Kamala Harris, and it has a marginal district rather because it has a high minority population. And so I have found, going all the way back to 2011, possibly further back than that, minority turnout in the West Bank is very elastic, meaning it could be either very strong or very not strong. Mm-hmm. But what's the more salient fact here, which impacts this council race, is that more and more, and I first started seeing this when Jeff Arnold vacated his Algiers House seat a decade ago, more and more minority voters are voting for minority Democratic candidates in the West Bank. So when you had a minority candidate and you had strong Democratic turnout on the amendments, it naturally goes to follow, in my opinion, that since that was further up in the ballot than the four amendments, then they would see, oh, look, a Democrat, and they voted for her on that basis, in addition to the fact that she had some name recognition from her unsuccessful run against Representative Vincent Cox in that state rep race in 2023.
Let's talk about the state results. You want to break it down by amendment or look at all four of them together? Because I'm looking at your tweets, John.
You have to
look
at them together, to be honest with you.
Please, yeah, tell me. Let's talk about it.
So it was an unequivocal failure in that you had all four amendments going down by 2-1 margins. When I see that type of vote that basically is a copy and paste, I described it on social media as a primal scream, and let me be more specific. There are two halves to the coin of what's going on here. There's the Democratic side and there's the Republican side. On the Democratic side, Tommy, I was seeing unbelievably strong Democratic early voting from day one that not only started off strong but got stronger as early voting went on. And I haven't seen that type of carried enthusiasm since John Bel Edwards' 2019 reelection. In other words, in 2019, John Bel Edwards and his team did everything they could to get a large minority turnout in the runoff, and they succeeded in spades, and of course he won by 40,000 votes. I saw that same dynamic happening in the early voting. You have to consider, as this was going on, because I had people flat out disagree with me with this take, they were thinking that this would perhaps help Jeff because of the Governor Landry, rather, because of the promised pay raises. I took a different take, and that is, if you consider the political atmosphere going on in the country right now, where both President Trump and Governor Landry are aggressively pursuing their agendas, there's always an equal and opposite reaction to any party trying to aggressively pursue their agenda, is that the other party gets stoked. In other words, they get mad and they take out part of that anger by voting. So I was of the opinion, when I was seeing these unbelievably strong Democratic numbers, I'm saying, you know what? You're going to have a vote that not only is going to be against either Amendment 2 or Amendment 3, but they're going to take it out on all four amendments. That is what happened as evidence. You know, the fascinating thing to me, Tommy, was when I was looking at the turnout, Orleans Parish actually outvoted the state by 10%, which is an extremely rare occurrence, number one. Number two, black turnout exceeded white turnout. But number three, what was even more fascinating to me, and these are like things that, you know, we could put in the political hall of fame here. Do you know that in Orleans Parish, 10,000 more voted in the amendments races, the amendments, than did in the governor's race in 2023, whereas in Jefferson and St. Tammany, you had 50,000 less voters.
Let me take a break. I want to drill down on that when we come back and what that means, John, okay? Yeah. John Cuvion, our guest, Louisiana-based pollster, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. He gave us the numbers. I want to talk about what that indicates, what we can infer from that when we come back. 652, 8 till 7, traffic now, 8 till, 7, traffic, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL 655. Quickly back to John Cuvion, Louisiana-based pollster, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. Sound rejection of all four amendments. You gave us the numbers earlier about the parishes and turnout. Yes. John, I guess, is this about amendments or is this about something bigger than that in terms of repudiation? Thoughts?
Right. So there's one tiny more part before I get back to the something else versus amendments, and that is, in addition to the very strong Democratic turnout I just detailed to you, the other half of the coin was you had divided Republican support, which was about a month ago you had several conservative religious leaders coming out against the amendment, believing that, quote-unquote, churches would be taxed. And in my opinion, the governor and his people did a too little too late job of counteracting that messaging. Now, getting back to your original point, because I don't want to take up all your time here, getting back to your original point, I focus on the amendments. I mean, the Democratic atmospherics are worth a point or two, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But when the amendments failed as badly as they did and only 14 parishes supporting it, you have to look at the basics. And that was, you had a confusing amendment with, I counted six disparate items in Amendment 2, and then they had the last few words saying, and make other modifications. If I'm an average voter, I don't like that kind of vagueness. I'm going to go vote no, and I'm probably going to be cranky enough to where I'm going to vote no on the other three, regardless of the merits of those other three amendments.
So basically, and I'm trying to get my numbers right here, 2 was the big one, and that brought the rest down?
Yes. 2 is the big one, and I think you could also make an argument that perhaps those who are into criminal justice reform did not like the contents of 3, which would have allowed more juveniles to be tried as adults.
One thing that I was thinking, and I've asked numerous people this as we were trying to vet these amendments before the election, is that because of the complexity of it, because of the consequences both intended and unintended, that this would be basically, it comes down to trust me. This is a amendment that says trust me. And if that's the case, then, John, can we infer that the voters are saying, no, I don't trust you?
You know, you can't make any different conclusion, because the thing about it is, when you saw what I would basically describe as a copy and paste no vote on all four amendments at the same time, you know, especially when the four amendments are dealing with entirely different topics, you can't escape that conclusion. If my opinion had been asked in a hypothetical sense, I would have said to the governor's people that, look, you need to start campaigning on this a month before, not waiting until early voting or even last week, because by that time, the confusion set in and people are saying, I'm just going to vote no on all this. You know, I don't trust those politicians.
So in a way, it is about trust. And
I would say so, because like I said, with the vote being that one-sidedly against and almost identical in all four amendments, that's the primal scream I had described earlier in our conversation.
So does this do anything as far as the governor's agenda, as far as the governor's policy? I was having a conversation over the weekend with a legislator. Governor's a shrewd politician. He might come off as, you know, aw shucks, boots and cowboy hat and all that stuff, but he knows what he's doing in the halls of the Capitol building. This doesn't affect anything for him, or does it?
Well, from a psychological aspect, I would say it would affect it, because so much of politics is driven by emotion and or perception. And while the thought is you're winning, it's much easier to get things passed. But if that cloak of invincibility comes off, all of a sudden you have to put in a lot more sweat equity to get each and every part of your agenda passed going forward. So, in other words, it was not a good loss to have.
That was an excellent summation that you just made, John. I'm going to end it there. Thank you, sir. Once the cloak of invincibility comes off. Thank you. John Cuvion, Louisiana-based pollster and founder of JMC Analytics and Polling. We'll talk to Joe Geruso. We come back, New Orleans City Council member, about the travel ban. I think the mayor's headed for Washington, D.C. We'll also take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa.